Praise God.
You're all welcome. Glory be to God. Yeah, you're welcome. Greet your neighbor. Welcome them to this place. Thank you, Norman, for leading us in praise and worship.
Glory be to God.
How many of you were here at the last Bible study? Yeah, did you get opportunities to live a balanced life? Judith, did you get an opportunity? Yes. Did you get opportunities to improve? Glory to God. Amen. Well, Rachel was also here. Rachel was excited. She felt the Bible study was for Mark. So, Mark, why ask Rachel? Any progress? Okay. That's good. Hallelujah. Yeah, we are all a work in progress. Hallelujah. In our spirits, we are perfect. All right? But that is not the case with our souls. Eh? Our souls are a work in what? In progress. Hallelujah. There are many opportunities to grow. And growth, one of the ways you can discern growth in a person is the ability or their demonstration of a balanced life. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Yes, like Sandra said, yeah, we should balance all these things. Amen. We should love people, but we must also be principled. All right. We should have knowledge, but we should use it in love. All right. We should pray in tongues, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray with understanding also. All right. We should love worship. Okay. But remember, God would also want us to pray. Hallelujah. You find people who are prayerful, but you never hear them worshiping God. All right. Then you meet those who love singing, who love worshiping. When it comes to prayer, it's a struggle. Amen. So we need to balance those two things. Eh? Amen. Then we have people like honest, who are dreamers of dreams. Eh? They dream, they see stuff. Eh? And usually, most such people find it hard to open their Bibles. So we need to be what? Amen. These prophetic experience, visions, dreams are for us. Eh? Okay? However, the word is primary. Glory be to God. Amen. You find people who are, let's say, especially teachers of the word, people who are like teachers of the word, you wonder whether they ever dream, whether they ever see visions. Most of them, now, in that sense, they are off. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Then you have people who have zeal for things of God. Basically, people who are very spiritual. Amen. But you find their natural lives are a total mess, man. Glory be to God. Amen. That's why a good number of them, if they are guys, they fail to get beautiful chicks. Hallelujah. Amen. Because their natural life is mess and the chick is like, yeah, you love God. When I have a devil, I'll come to you. However, for other things, those are yours. Amen. So we need a balance in these things. Glory be to God. But the same also applies to chicks, to ladies. Fine ladies, they are, some ladies who are always praying and fasting. Praying and fasting. So if they are married, for example, they neglect other things about a family, about family, all right? Or even just their looks. They don't work on their hair. They don't put oil on their skins. Glory be to God. They love their prophets so much, so they give all the money to the prophets. So, I mean, they don't have money for makeup. They look ugly. You understand? So there has to be a what? A balance. All the money God gives you is not for your prophets. Hallelujah. Amen? And the list goes on. Glory be to God. Now today we are going to talk about being carriers of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Being what? Carriers of the glory of God. Or being carriers of the presence of God. Amen? You came with your books, The Final Quest. Hallelujah. Once again, the lessons are from Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. We are using the edition that he made available in 2010, is it? The e-book edition, amen? And the copyright information page is page one for according to us. Hallelujah. Now, on page 22, paragraph 8, at this moment, Rick Joyner is coming back from the top of the mountain. You remember? He climbed up and he reached a place, basically the Garden of Eden, where he saw the Lord, he communed with him, he beheld the glory of God. Amen? Now, he's returning, he's coming down the mountain, all right? Basically going back into the battle, all right? Now, page 22, paragraph 8, there's a sentence there which says that the soldiers who are still fighting from a certain level looked at me in astonishment with a difference that made me very uncomfortable. It was then I first noticed that the glory of the Lord was emanating from my armor and shield. You have seen it? Okay? Okay? So he noticed that the glory of the Lord was emanating from his armor and shield. All right? Now, open page 23, paragraph 5. Again, it is talking about the glory. Okay? Page 23, paragraph 5. Rick Joyner says, I watched as many soldiers who had been to the top began descending to all of the levels in order to relieve those who had been taking their stand on those truths. As they did, each level began to shine with the glory they carried. Soon, the whole mountain was shining with a glory that was blinding to the vultures and demons that were left. After a time, there was so much glory on the mountain that it began to have the same feel as the garden. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see those who had been at the top of the mountain, okay, were returning down, okay, and they had a glory, okay? They were, in a sense, carrying the glory of God. Amen? This should remind us of Moses' experience in Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. He talks about the time when Moses went up the mountain and he came back, with the glory of God. You remember? Exodus 34, from verse 1 to 5. And the Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. All right? And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. So he cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the 2 tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. All right? Doesn't that sound like Rick Joyner going up the mountain? Okay? Now, the same chapter, go to verse 29. Verse 29, this is after Moses has communed with the Lord. Verse 29 says, now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the 2 tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him, with God. Amen? This is like, again, how Rick Joyner didn't know that actually his shield and armor were emanating a glory. All right? Verse 30, so when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron, and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be like, don't you all want you, you know, to be for people or beings or angels to say that about you? Amen? That is, to me, what I call being a carrier of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, they might not see it like live, you know, like physically. Okay? However, it should be known of us in the spirit. You know, in the, you know, that man, you know, you have read those books which Sandra doesn't like. Those basically by especially guys who are once in the occult, you know, with Satanism. They say how they used to identify Christians. Okay? You see, they would see a light. Okay? However, for some Christians, it was more than just a light. It was like the light was too bright. Amen? You know, for some, they would see them when it's like, you know, a light is, enveloping them. You see, now that is being a carrier of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So it is possible that right now, you know, when if there's a, yeah. Yeah, anyway, it is possible that all of us right now are being seen like that in the spirit. Okay? But it is also possible that none of us is like that right now. Okay? The other option is some are like that and some are not. Glory be to God. But God's desire is that we should all be carriers of the glory of God. Amen? We shouldn't just be seen as like a light. That guy is saved, you know. Just take a light, take a small light, take a flicker. Okay? We should really be carriers of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Like Moses was, okay? Like these guys we have read about in the final quest, Rick Joyner, you know, and all those other soldiers, okay? They had been up the mountain, they had seen the Lord, you know, and that, you know, caused them to have the glory of God on their lives. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, Second Corinthians chapter 3. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It's a famous scripture. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Okay? The key thing here is that when we go up the mountain, okay, if we are going to be transformed into the glory that we are beholding, okay, our faces should be unveiled. You understand? There should be what? There should be what? People are saying that there should be a veil. No, no, no. You see, when Moses used to go up to meet the Lord, the Bible has said that he would take off the veil. You understand? Okay? And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says that we should do the same. All right? With unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. Okay? If we behold with unveiled faces, all right, then we shall be transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. All right? If you behold with a veiled face, you will not be transformed. Hallelujah. Okay? Bridget, you're welcome. Glory be to God. Amen. We're talking about being carriers of the glory of God. Okay? Like Moses was when he went up the mountain. Okay? And with an unveiled face, he beheld, okay, the glory of God. And the glory of God covered him. He came down the mountain with the glory of God. And some people had to run away. You see, Okay? And that was the same experience in the final quest with Rick Joyner and some soldiers who had been up at the mountain and they had seen the Lord. And in on page 22 and page 23, we see them, you know, carrying the glory of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, this should be the desire of everyone, eh? Being a carrier of the glory. You know, when you walk in a place, people don't see the light, but somehow, you know, there is something about this chick. You understand? Something about this guy, you know, Hallelujah. If they don't discern it, at least let the devils in the spirit realm see it. You know, let the angels see it. Hallelujah. Don't you like this, you guys? Who just want dimes? You just want dimes. There's a book I read called The Spiritual World or The Spirit World? The Spiritual World, I guess, by Peter Tan. Okay? Where he said that if someone like loves money, they are lovers of money. You see, he said that in the spirit, it is seen that their hearts get darker and darker and darker. You know what I mean? So it is possible for a preacher, you know, now like me preaching, but if I'm a lover of money, you know, in the spiritual, they just see some guy who's preaching the Bible, but actually he's not carrying, you know, a presence, the glory of God. Hallelujah. So the glory of God is more important than what? Than money. Hallelujah. Being a carrier of the glory. Man, that's so cool. Well, you're like, Moses, those are yours. You have a what? Spiritual. We have other needs in life. our problems are what? Are different. We have other issues. These things of the glory, yeah, they are good, but, okay? Probably, this glory, when you begin to carry the glory, it might solve some of those issues. The devils might stop being on your case. Hallelujah. Because, man, there's too much glory around you that they just say, let's leave this guy alone. Hallelujah. The glory of God. Amen? Now, so we have seen that you have to behold with an unveiled face. All right? And what? An unveiled face. A face which is not veiled. Glory be to God. Now, the deadliest veil, or the most dangerous veil we are to remove or avoid is the veil of condemnation and shame. Alright? When we sin, we should not run away from God. We should unashamedly run to Him. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You remember, let's open Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We all know it. It talks about the fall of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6. Verse 6 says, so when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. He did what? He hid himself. Eh? And so you see, when they sing, eh? Most people think that prior to that, Adam and Eve, were wearing the glory of God. And then when they sinned, the glory of God departed. And now, so that's when they became conscious of their nakedness. You see, And they ran away from God. Glory be to God. Now, that means, let's assume that we are carrying the glory of God. Okay? In order to maintain it, number one, we shouldn't do what Adam and Eve did. Okay? We should avoid sin. Glory be to God. We should do what? We should avoid sin. Amen? However, you will sin. Amen? I'm not going to tell you to confess that I will sin. But you don't have to confess it. You will do it. Mark, you will sin. Okay? Now, when we sin, we shouldn't run from God. You understand? Because now that makes things worse. Okay? Especially if you want to be a carrier of the glory. If you are a carrier of the glory, where it's your ambition, it's your employment, you see, when you sin and you know now it has affected the glory of God, if you really love the glory that much, you actually say, no, I'm not running. God, here I am. You understand? Okay? All of us, well, maybe not all of you, but me and some other people, we prefer to duck, man, from God. Just imagine, evil thoughts, when you begin to entertain evil thoughts, let's say killing someone, Jesus said, if you do that, you have already committed what? Murder. Okay? Alan, when you look at a chick and you lust for her, the Bible says you have committed what? Sexual immorality. Yeah? Okay, so you have sinned. Now, how do you relate to God during that moment when you're like, man, what am I doing? You answer, do you now try to duck, to cover it up? Even like to pretend that God hasn't seen, or you create excuses. You understand? That is all hiding from God. Okay? You should know, or we should know, that we are loved. You see, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you are like, yes, God, if I run from you, where will I go? I'm here, you see me, forgive me, and then you continue with your life. Okay? Now, God has seen. God knows. So ducking actually makes things worse. Ducking does what? Makes things worse. You just tell God, you have seen me, this. However, man, help me to style. You understand? You're open. There are no veils. Hallelujah. Veils are now the ducking. You create the excuses. You even start to lie to God. You're like, no, I didn't last. I did, But God is like, my guy, no man. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. We're going to read two scriptures which talk about grieving God and grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. What is the difference? Okay, let's first read them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Who is there? If you're there, read it. Or you're looking for 1 Thessalonians You don't have your phone now. Now you have to what? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Yeah, it's okay. Okay, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Who has NKJV or KJV? Okay, it's the same thing. Eh? Quenching and putting out fire is the same thing. Quench not the Spirit. All right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So what is the difference between grieving and quenching? I believe that these scriptures apply to our Bible study today. Okay? Because, for example, I believe if you're carrying the glory, yeah, it means that you can quench it. Eh? Okay? You know, and the same way you can grieve the Spirit. You understand? Eh? So anyway, what's the difference between quenching and grieving? So what causes quenching? What causes grieving? There's no difference. One leads to the other. Okay. Okay. All right. You might all be right. You might all be wrong. Maybe you need to go and study the Greek, you know. But years ago, I read that quenching happens when you don't do what the Spirit would want you to do. You know, eh? Like God has given you the ability to do something, okay? So the ability is there, eh? Then you don't do it, eh? So in that sense, you're quenching that ability. Do you understand, eh? Then grieving is when you do what you're not supposed to do, which could be, again, like sinning and some other. You understand? Eh? You know, eh? You grieve. Eh? You make the Spirit sad. Eh? Hallelujah. Amen? So now, if we're going to be carriers of the glory, we should not do what we're not supposed to do. Eh? Hallelujah. And we should do what we're supposed to do. Amen? 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 Quenching. Eh? Do not quench the Spirit and do not grieve the Spirit. Hallelujah. But we see from Genesis where it all started. The sin caused the glory to lift. Sin caused what? The glory to lift, man. Hallelujah. Disobedience. Amen? So, by all means, we should endeavor to be well-pleasing to God. Amen? Now, God doesn't leave us. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. He doesn't. However, the glory is affected. You know, He's in your spirit. God is in your, He's in your life. He will never leave, nor depart. The day He will leave is when you renounce. You understand? You say, I don't want you anymore. He will leave, Okay? However, the glory, you know, the amount of the presence of Him that you carry gets affected when you do what you're not supposed to do, or when you do, glory be to God. Hallelujah. You understand? Amen? Amen? And by the way, that thing, it's in every area of life. Now, like, let's say a church or a fellowship like this, okay? If there is the song of the hour, you're supposed to be singing, yeah? You understand, eh? Amen? If you want the glory, you had better sing that song. Alright? If you don't sing it, okay, there won't be the glory. But it is a good song. So, what have you done? You have quenched the spirit. Okay? You haven't done what you're supposed to do. You see, you haven't sinned in a sense. Eh? Okay? Alright? Let's assume you've been worshiping and then there's a song, you know, it has brought in the glory of God. Eh? Okay? And then you introduce one witch man. The spirit is like, that is not it. It is not for the hour. If you're sensitive, you know, you will discern that some, you know, that we have come down. You understand? Eh? So in a sense, you have lost a bit of the glory. You know this thing, eh? If you are in LAT. Okay? The LAT crowd now is, it's a dangerous team for the worship, you know, for the worship group. Because they know what, you know, eh? It's tough, eh? Okay? So you see now, eh? What has happened? You have sung, whatever song, eh? Okay? But it wasn't the song, eh? That the Spirit wanted. Eh? And you can sense the glory decreasing. Eh? So in that sense, you have quenched the Spirit. You have not sinned. You have just done what you are not supposed to do. You have quenched. You understand? Eh? And then the next song, if now you get in line, eh? Then the glory returns. Hallelujah. But God is still with you. Even, you understand? Eh? Hmm? Okay? So, this is what we're saying. Eh? If you're going to be a carrier of the glory, okay, you know, you have to really desire to be in the perfect will of God. In anything. Eh? Glory be to God. Amen? That is what makes different assemblies of churches, you know? That's what usually makes the difference. Eh? Okay? One congregation knows how to flow with the Spirit, eh? To discern what the Spirit is doing, and they flow along. Eh? Okay? So that group of people, even if they are two, eh? Even if they are 100, they will experience the glory of God. Okay? But a group which doesn't know how to discern, eh? Where is the Spirit moving? What does he want us to do? Eh? You know, eh? You can't have the glory of God. I'm telling you. Oh, you have it, okay, maybe you have it, eh? But in, you know, eh? In very small measure. Glory be to God. Being a carrier of the glory. Hmm? In our personal lives, eh? You know, this applies. Eh? What are you supposed to be doing? You understand? Eh? All right? Do not do what? Do not quench the Spirit. He's given you the ability to do something. Okay? Now, when you don't do it, you quench. And by the way, you can feel this quenching and grieving. By the way, you discern them, their feelings. You know them. Eh? Hallelujah. You can sense a sadness, eh? You know, and you just know, man, I've grieved the Spirit. You can sense it. Okay? You can sense when you've quenched. Eh? It's a dry, you know, a dryness. Eh? You know, eh? Yeah? You understand? Eh? You've poured cold water on the fire. Whether it's cold or warm, it is the same effect. You know, eh? You
put it out.
Hallelujah.
Being a carrier of the what?
Of the glory.
Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, we're going to talk about should we sin? Hallelujah. Those of you who say that you will not sin, yes, we shall what? Yeah, we shall meet. We shall meet where we sin. We shall be there, then you shall fear, man. Glory be to God. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. From verse 15 it says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Okay? Let us not run away from God like Adam and Eve did. Okay? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of what? In time of need. Okay? When you look at a man and you lust for him, or when you look at a woman and you lust for her, don't dark from God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, go boldly. All right? To the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Darking makes things worse. You can see when Adam and Eve hid, you see, they now just started to create excuses. The man, the woman you gave me. The woman, the snake. You know, you just make things worse. Okay? You see, this is why when people sin, one sin already leads to another. You know, and maybe all of us, you understand, even the preacher. Glory be to God. Rachel, your boss. Amen? You know, because now you start create excuses, you sin, then they grab you, then two, before you know it, man. Things are what? Horrible. Amen? But this, it says, you have a high priest who can sympathize with your weaknesses. Okay? Jesus understands these things, man. He came here, he lived here, man. He knows. He does what? He knows. He didn't participate. Hallelujah. But he knows. You understand? He knows. He says that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in all ways. Okay? But he didn't participate. But he was tempted in all ways. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You know it. Romans 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those, or for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no what? Condemnation. By the way, what is the difference between condemnation and conviction? These two things, man, have caused issues. Amen? Does God convict? Does God condemn? These are two, However, God can use someone to convict you. Then you tell them you're condemning. there's a scripture. Jesus said, I think in John something, where he said that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. You know that scripture? Now, according to men of God who I really respect. Okay, let me say, according to Andrew Womack says, no. That one, you know, the Holy Spirit, you see, he convicts the world, they don't convict believers. Now, in the final quest, in the book, The Final Quest, you know, Jesus told Rick Joyner that actually the Spirit convicts believers of sin. He does, but he doesn't condemn. We have agreed on that. He doesn't condemn, but he convicts. All right? You have read The Final Quest. I know you are a great Andrew Womack fan. Haven't you ever met that and say, but Womack, Yagamba, I want to rejoin, and you know. But now, I used to preach like Womack, Andrew Womack. He didn't convict, But later I say, I'm going to take now the Rick Joyner one. Okay? But you see what most people don't differentiate between conviction and condemnation. They are different things altogether. Hallelujah. God, he convicts of sin. Amen? Not to harass you, but to just say something wrong, come back to me, repent, stop doing it, but he's not condemning. Condemnation has to do with punishment. It has to do with wrath, which wrath was satisfied at the cross. You see, conviction is not sentencing you to death or to punishment or to wrath. It is just to get you back. You know, there's a difference. And I guess it feels different. Condemnation and conviction. They feel what? Different. Hallelujah. Amen. We're talking about being carriers of the glory of God. Okay? Like Rick Joyner and the other soldiers who had been up the mountain and they came back carrying that glory of God. Okay? The way they got that glory that we want to be carriers of, they went up the mountain. They communed with the Lord. Okay? There is no way we're going to be carriers of the presence of God or the glory if we don't take time to commune with him. All right? Okay? However, like Adam and Eve, we can forfeit it. We can do stuff which is wrong, and then it causes the glory to lift, but not God living our lives. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Okay? But the degree of the presence of him that we experience in our lives will be affected. Okay? Will be affected, and we don't want that to happen. Okay? So, in the event that we do something that is not pleasing to him, that affects the glory, we shouldn't run away from him. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. All right? That we may receive grace, mercy and grace to help in time of need. Amen? Hallelujah. Page 79. We're on page 20 something, but just for a moment, let's run to page 79. Page 79. You're there? Alan, you're there? Who is there? Page 79. Okay. Chapter 3 and 4. I'll just read. This part is has to do with Angelo, Sandra's friend, Angelo. Okay? Anyway, so somewhere, Rick Joyner says, I could hear and understand everything Jesus said, but I was so captured by his glory that I just had to ask him, Lord, why are you so much more glorious now than when you first appeared to me as wisdom. Then Jesus responded, I have never changed, but you have. You are changed as you behold my glory with an unveiled face. The experiences you have had are removing the veils from your face so that you can see me more clearly. All right? Yet nothing, now, this is the key part. It says, yet nothing removes them, the veils, as quickly as when you behold my love. Glory be to God. Okay? We want to be transformed into the image of God, from glory to glory. We want to be carriers of the glory. Okay? But for that to happen, we have to behold. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, we must behold with unveiled face. Just like Moses. When he would go up the mountain, okay, he would put off the veil. Okay? So now here it says that nothing removes those veils as quickly as when you behold my love, the love of God. Glory be to God. Amen. Veils have to do with hiding. You understand? When you put a veil over you, you don't want someone to see you. If they see you, you don't want them to see you bulungi. You understand? And therefore, even you yourself, you won't see well. Okay? Now, it says that the thing that can remove those veils real quick, that is if you want to behold the glory, is beholding the love of God. Amen? Beholding the love of God means knowing how much God loves you. Hallelujah. Knowing that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Knowing that he doesn't condemn you. You understand? Knowing that he's not after you, he's not there just waiting to hammer you. Glory be to God. You are loved. You are a child in the family. You understand? Okay. For a moment, Adam and Eve, they lost that awareness that they are loved. That's why they ducked. You know, they ducked from God. In a sense, they put a veil. You know, when things went wrong. Okay? Somehow the awareness of how much God loves them, man, it was dissipated. You see, so they unleashed a veil, a barrier between them and God. You understand? That's why here in the final quest, it says, it says that the experiences you have had are removing the veils from your face so that you can see me more clearly. Then it says, yet nothing removes them as quickly as when you behold my love. Glory be to God. The love of God. The love of God for you. Man, I know some guys, some people, they amaze me how much they know that they are loved. You see, these people, they never duck, man. They never run from God. Now, that's amazing. I'd want to be like that. There's some things that I do, and sometimes I duck, Your pastor, what? Sometimes duck, sometimes put veils, a barrier between you and God. Now, there are people I know who never do this, man. And I'd want to become like them. Okay? Then also you one day can become like me. Hallelujah. Amen? Nothing removes veils, barriers between you and God, nothing removes them as quickly as beholding the love of God. Glory be to God. God loves us. God does what? He loves us. Hallelujah. God does what? God loves us. Hallelujah. The people I know, you wonder, you are like, man, I think these guys have a revelation of the love of God. The things they have done, all the things they are doing, if it was me doing those things, I wouldn't be born again. I would have first said, God, first heal me, just help me not to die before I come back. Like, before I come back to you. Amen? I know myself. So sometimes, man, you just respect some people. Guy is doing this. You know this guy is doing this. But guys, they go to church Sunday. They go to fellowships from Monday to Saturday. Hallelujah. And I don't know why they go. Maybe they go because, again, opportunities to sin. I don't know. But by the mere fact that they are there, they are around. Man, it is to me, who doesn't know why they are there. To me, man, I'm like, wow. Okay? So it is possible that these guys have a what? A revelation. Okay? They have beheld the love of God. They are the highest level. Well, if they are the highest level, most probably they wouldn't be doing what they are doing. Amen? But they are the level of salvation there, and they are not getting, they are not living. The secret shoe, yeah. Hallelujah. God loves us. God does what? Amen? I don't know where, I remember, when you hear some of the things preachers do, now, in America, preacher, man, I think it's just a culture, in the States, it is not just a church, but a culture, when man, the guy quickly just says, I've done this, amen, I've heard of preachers who fell into what, homosexuality, and immediately when news was out, guys just came out and say, yeah, now for me, I don't know if I would do that. I haven't heard of a Ugandan guy accepting that, I've been doing this, I'm sorry, but America, I think it's just a culture, It is not really a church thing, I think it's just a culture. You remember Ted Haggard? Ted Haggard, You don't know him, Ted Haggard was the leader of like the evangelicals in the States. Evangelicals, these are Pentecostals, charismatics, all of them in the States, basically our locally. He was the equivalent of what you call maybe this guy, Serada, or what's his name? There's another guy, where you're the head. And for years, he said it, it's true, it's there on the net. Now, but this is many years ago. For years, this guy, was in homosexuality. In fact, he had, I think, male prostitutes. And the moment man info leaked, guy just came and I just said, God asked me what, I'm going to go, and then they help me. You understand? Phew! Hallelujah. Now, me, if I don't know if I would just accept it. You understand? So, man, you respect such people, and now you always want to follow them to hear what are they. Because you realize they have something that you don't have. They have some, a depth and some knowledge of God, that you don't have. Glory be to God. This is another preacher I know. It happened to him also, Then one Sunday, he just came to his church there, the congregation, he told them, it is true. You know, can you imagine standing here, then, you know, you assure the people, eh? It is true. Then say, but it will be okay. Then he told them, but don't lose the faith. Yeah? He said, keep the faith. Yeah? You understand? Eh? He apologized that I now have hurt you. You understand? But, you know, eh? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You can't see yourself doing it. You're like me. Hmm? Some people, you just switch churches. Whew. You just switch churches. Glory be to God. You've been in a church in which one today, you just switch, go to where? Gaba. And that, you know. Eh? Hallelujah. But, so you see, eh? But anyway, the point is, when we sin, eh? We shouldn't create barriers. We shouldn't put veils. Eh? Okay? God is our Father. He will never leave nor forsake us. Eh? Hallelujah. Amen. And he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't do what? Will condemn us. Eh? Those veils, you know, eh? Will be removed very quickly when we understand that. Eh? That God does what? Allows us. Hallelujah. God loves us. You know, eh? There's someone who said that, man, God loves people. Hmm? God loves what? God loves people. Hmm? God loves what? People. And you're one of those people. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Hmm? If you put a veil, a barrier between you and God, then you cannot experience his glory. Eh? You understand? Eh? You cannot be changed, eh? You know, eh? By the glory. Eh? It cannot impact you. Eh? Alright? The glory of God. Hallelujah. God loves people. Eh? Hmm? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 17. We're ending. Matthew 17. Verse 1 to 5. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a mountain by themselves. They went up where? On a mountain. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Isn't this the same thing like in the final quest with Moses? Okay. Verse 3. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Glory be to God. It's to me, eh, the way I see this passage of scripture, eh, is, you know, eh, you could see your own things, eh, but for me, what I see as far as this Bible study is concerned is that Jesus knew that he was loved. Eh? You know, he knew that he was a beloved son. Eh? Okay, he knew that God is pleased with him. Eh? That's why he would be able to, like, just go up the mountain to commune with the Father. And while he was there, the glory of God departed. Eh? You see, eh? Rather, descended upon him. You understand? He knew he was loved. That's why there were no barriers. Eh? He just walked to the, you know, and said, I'm going to commune with the Father. There was no fear. There was no shame. There was nothing to be condemned about. Eh? Okay? You can say, yeah, but Jesus had no sin. Yes, eh? But you see, he's our example. Eh? Hmm? He died for us. Eh? That's why there's no condemnation. Eh? Because Jesus died. So he wants us to be like, oh, anytime, just walk up to the Father. Just walk up the mountain. Eh? Okay? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen. God wants us to be carriers of his glory. This will happen when we approach him without fear. When we behold his glory without any veil of shame or condemnation. Glory be to God. Amen? God loves us. God loves people. Hallelujah. Hmm? I've given examples of what? Homosexuality, what? But there's those things where you feel bad when or what is it called? Is it called envy? Envy, you know, eh? Those things, eh? Okay? Some chick has better hair than yours, eh? And you just feel something hurting you, eh? Glory be to God. Hmm? Someone has received a commendation for your vein, and you just feel like, man, eh? Those things, eh? Then somehow, because you are a Christian, eh? Somehow you feel the conviction there. Eh? Where God said, no, that's not it. Then now you start darkening. You start, no. Why, you know, eh? You start to create excuses that, yeah, her hair is like that because those banyan kole have eaten our money. You understand? Now, what if God tells you that, by the way, can I tell you, she's not a banyan kole. She just looks like, but she's not. You understand? You're there trying to doubt God. Say, no. Let me tell you, she's not a miyankole. Hmm? So meaning that she, if you think the wanyoka stole her money, okay, in case it's true, she's not one of them. Huh? Like her grandmother was a miyankole. But her grandmother died before 1986. So, you understand? Hmm? You, anyway, the point, when I'm trying to joke, but don't over anything. Tithing. Christmas was tight, you know. I tell for us, our workplace, they don't give us the 13th month. What is it called? The 13th check. And God, you know, man, Christmas, you know, you have to have a blast. She was like, then they're there, you know, condemned. Why, you know, you're like her. You can't even look at Jesus when you talk about faithfulness. You know. God said, no, come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. These things happen to all of us, even Pastor Moses. Do you want to hear Pastor Moses' issues? Yes. Then you do what? How will it help you? I'm praying for myself. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But you see, the point is, God loves people. Okay? Come to him without veils. Okay? You understand? He loves you. He wants you to come, you know, and fellowship with him. And when you do that, you'll be impacted by his glory. You know, it will rub off you. Okay? And the more you hang in there, the higher you go, okay, you'll come back carrying his glory. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God.